Famine in East Africa, if this is even possible to believe, has taken a turn for the worst. The United Nations says tens of thousands of people have already died from starvation, and now rains are falling, and cholera has turned up in refugee camps. It's hitting people living on the equivalent of one plate of rice a day. The United Nations says there are going to be 9 billion people on the planet by the year 2045. And so our series, Food for 9 Billion, answers the very basic question of how we're going to feed them all. So here's one clue. Famine is a lot more than simply a drought. Scott Tong reports from the Horn of Africa.
This is a tale of two droughts. Actually, it's just one weather pattern in one dirt-poor part of the world. But there's a border. On the Ethiopia side, the farmers and the herders manage to endure. Whereas in Somalia, by now you've heard about the famine.
It was as if the skin of their bodies was sticking to their bones. Inhumanly grotesque.
No toilets, no clean water. The kids were half naked.
You can go to virtually any family living under a piece of plastic, and they will tell you they've lost one, two, three, or four children.
How did famine happen? I stopped first at the biggest refugee camp on Earth. 460,000 Somalis, that's the size of Kansas City, live in Kenya, off UN rations of corn, wheat, cooking oil. 35-year-old Mahmoud Abdurrahman just came.
We had no rains, no water to farm, so we ran away.
He walked 30 days to get out of Somalia.
We had to leave some people behind who got too weak. They were still alive then, but people who came afterward told us they saw dead bodies being eaten by hyenas. One of the bodies was my neighbor. It's terrible.
Abdurrahman feels lucky because he has a donkey. It pulled the cart carrying his four children.
But when we came, we lost one child to starvation, our second daughter. She was 1.5.
Here, everyone talks of the worst drought in two generations. But here's the thing. Other places have drought too. Algeria, Peru, Texas. But no starvation. Andrew Natsios at Georgetown used to run the Agency for International Development.
In very few places do people starve to death simply because there's a drought. The only time people really actually die is when there's some political complication.
Complication is a charitable word for Somalia. It's had no central government for 20 years. There's been internal conflict. There's been outside meddling from the Soviets, from the Americans, from the Ethiopians, and now the Kenyans. And out of the mess arose the Muslim extremist group. Al-Shabaab is known for radical theology and guns and blocking food aid.
The Al-Shabaab movement does not want any food aid distributed in their area because they see it as undermining their authority and their legitimacy.
Western aid competes for influence. Natsios says after an earthquake in Pakistan, U.S. help rushed in. American popularity rose. Al-Qaeda's fell.
Bin Laden was really, really upset, apparently, from what the agency tells me, CIA.
It seems every Somali here has an Al-Shabaab story. I come upon a dusty food stall where there's a radio that must be older than I am.
105.9 Star FM, Nairobi.
Refugee Abdu Shan Ali owns the stall.
The gunmen just came and stole my animals. They chose the fattest goats, cows, and camels.
He fled Somalia 2 years ago in search of help for his wife and his 10 kids. They all stayed behind.
I don't know if they're dead or alive. I ask everyone who comes if they know anything about my family.
He asks to change the subject, puts a couple tomatoes on the scale. And now the difference between drought and famine starts to come into focus. Imagine it's you. By fate, you're born into the world's poorest place. Drought comes, crops fail, food prices triple, you eat everything you have, including your seeds. Your cows and goats provide milk, but the drought kills half of them, and then the gunmen come and take the rest. So you're left with two choices, flee for a refugee camp or wait to die. Now the other side of the river. Same desert climate, same 105-degree heat, same drought. Different planet. This is the sound of government safety net. Ethiopian men chant, "We work to survive," as they dig irrigation trenches. In return, they get food and access to water. 58-year-old Hisak Ali Hassan.
Now we can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Before, we only ate two times a day. We don't eat meat, but we get vegetables, and we can go into town to buy rice.
Now, this is Ethiopia. Remember that famine back in the 80s? Those Live Aid benefit concerts? Back then, Ethiopia faced what Somalia faces now, drought and civil war. Famine then came in part because Ethiopian leaders picked military supplies over food aid, guns over butter.
This is a country which has been the poster child of poverty and hunger.
Ethiopian Foreign Ministry spokesman Getachew Reda was in grade school during that famine. He recalls a beggar came up and snatched a loaf of bread out of his hands, at which point his grandmother screamed, "Shame on you," at the beggar. The beggar shouted back, "Shame on you for giving a child enough food for 10.
I have still vivid pictures of people really starving today, is begging for, you know. That kind of thing is a thing of past, and I think we have come to bury that past.
Ethiopia, like many African countries, has gradually built a series of shock absorbers for droughts. It stores water and grain around the country for emergencies. It gives farmers better seeds and insurance for when crops fail. It's built roads to help get people to the market. The point is to weave a safety net and to lift incomes so enough people won't ever need the net. Economist John Hadanat is with the International Food Policy Research Institute.
That what we do know in countries which have successfully escaped hunger and famine is they've done a whole lot of things right. And when you push on all those fronts, that's when you see famine and hunger disappearing.
Meantime, in Somalia, the seasonal rains have come, raising hopes for the January harvest for the farmers who are still there. And yet in the refugee camps, the next deadly stage of disaster has already shown up. Waterborne diseases like cholera and malaria. In East Africa, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.